Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. We're glad that you've joined us today for the message. Today I want to talk about overcoming temptation. We're coming into a new year, 2024, and there are many people who make resolutions and they say, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do this or that, but I'm telling you there is a power that will make it possible for us to live above the guilt and the shame of sin. And so overcoming temptation. And before I go ahead with the message, I would like for us to just welcome the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here today. Thank you that you have anointed my lips. I believe you for that. You've anointed me to bring this message. Thank you, Lord, that you anoint the hearts and the minds of the people. I pray those that are listening today that they will receive and understand how important it is that you have given us power over the temptations of the wicked one. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, a lot of resolutions are made that are never kept. And there are good intentions, but they're not really ever fulfilled. Very few of them are. But we thank God that Jesus has given us the ability or the strength to overcome temptation. The most familiar temptation in the New Testament is that of Christ. Jesus was tempted by Satan. Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and Christ revealed a pattern for believers to follow. The temptation to sin or disobey God is an experience that all people encounter. I don't care who you are or how holy you are, you will have temptation that will come to you. And Jesus demonstrated the proper response to resist with the help of God and His Word. That is the most important thing. Remember, we use the Word of God, which is our most powerful weapon, to refute the lies of the devil. The Lord's clash with Satan in the wilderness occurred for our sake. For us, He went through that temptation. It was part of God's work of salvation to show that He was tempted in every way, just as we are, according to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, 15th verse. You say, well, nobody's gone through this like I am. Jesus experienced the same temptations that you go through. After His baptism by John the Baptist, remember that He came to the River Jordan. Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness right after that baptism. He was led in the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Jesus fasted there 40 days there in that wilderness, asking the Father for strength. He knew what He was facing for your salvation, for our redemption, and He fasted. But afterward, I think it's interesting that it says afterward, He hungered. He was hungry. And Satan always attacks us at our weakest point. That's when the temptation comes, when we are most discouraged or when we're weak at that point in that area. Satan said in Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4, if you are the Son of God. Now, he's saying if. So you say, he puts that out there, and he will say the same to you. If you are really a born-again Christian, or if you're really, then do this. So he says, command this stone to become bread. Jesus replied with Scripture, telling Satan that man does not live by bread alone. And then he quoted in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 3, where it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We don't live just by the physical, but it is spiritual experience. Then Satan took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, saying they were all under the devil's control. He promised Jesus to give them to him if Jesus would fall down and worship him. You see, that was not an empty bragging that Satan did. He really did have those, because Adam forfeited his right to be the ruler of the kingdoms of this world. And so the devil now had control, and he said to Jesus, I can give these all to you. And the devil, Luke the fourth chapter, verses 5-8. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. That's what the devil told Jesus. He said, just if you will worship me, it will all be yours. He was trying to keep him from going to the cross. He did not want him to be the sacrifice. Satan didn't know it would be the cross he went to. But he was trying to interfere with God's plan. But Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The word of God stands as a strong opponent to Satan's enticements, to his temptations. And again, Jesus quoted from the Bible. He said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And that was in the Old Testament that Jesus picked that up from in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 13. When Satan tempted Jesus a third time, he took him to the highest point of the temple of Jerusalem and dared him to throw himself down. He said, just throw yourself down. After all, he said, the devil quoted Psalm 91, 11, and 12, but he took it out of its context. And that's what he'll do to you. You'll see a scripture, he'll say, well, you know, after all, you can do this because. And the devil said, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan was misusing the verses to imply that angels would protect Jesus. Jesus came back with Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 16. He said, you shall not test the Lord your God. Satan tried to ruin God's plan of salvation by getting Jesus to sin, because a sinful Messiah could not be a worthy sacrifice for mankind. But Jesus was always able to see through the devil's schemes, and he is much more powerful than Satan. There is no comparison. Satan is going to be defeated once and for all one day, and Jesus will reign forever and ever. Satan tempted Jesus in three areas that correspond to temptations common to all of us today. The lust of the flesh, hunger of all types, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, what you see, or covetousness, and the pride of life, lust for power. Satan's first temptation was an attempt to get Jesus to doubt God's divine care. By turning stones into bread, Jesus would be acting independently of the Father. But God wants us to trust him, not lean on our own understanding. He wanted Jesus to be acting independently of his Father, using his own power to meet his needs. The Lord's response reveals that spiritual nourishment is more valuable than physical nourishment. We see that over and over. When Jesus went there, and he was there talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman, and the disciples came back and they said, you haven't even eaten here. You need to eat. He said, I have meat to eat that you do not know about. And that's true with us. There are things that are more important than the physical, and God will provide those for us if we will allow him. The second temptation was an attempt to get Jesus to test God's promise of protection from physical harm. We get that test sometimes. Many times the devil comes against us and he says, well, if God really loved you, you know, he throws out all of the stuff, if. But Jesus refused to test his Father's faithfulness and protection. I have heard some people say, well, if God will prove to me that he's really God, I can jump off this building. No, God created gravity. God made laws of the earth, and he does not violate those. And we have no business trying to tell him what to do. We trust in his faithfulness. Jesus trusted God completely and needed no such tests. Satan's third temptation gave Jesus the chance to grab hold of the kingdom. And what was it going to do? He could avoid the cross. Jesus knew that he was born to die on the cross for your redemption. He knew that when he came to earth, he was agreeable before the Father that he would come wrapped in human flesh and that he would give his life. And so Jesus had that temptation, but the Lord's response was one of no compromise. Many times we try to think about it and justify it, then we come to compromise. The Lord's response had no compromise. He would not worship false gods. He would stay totally loyal to God alone. Satan always presents sin as acceptable and desirable, but the remedy is the truth of God's word. We can never excuse it. It's not different for us than it is for somebody else. The word of God is the word of God. I heard a preacher one time, years ago, made the excuse. He said he was the exception. God accepted him from this. He left his wife and he took up with a secretary or something. And he said, it was different in my situation. No, it's not different in your situation. God has given his word, and it stands true for every one of us. It is the same. God is no respecter of persons. He will give you what you desire, your heart's desire, as you follow him. And he will even form the desires of your heart. It was no coincidence that Satan tempted Jesus immediately after his baptism. You see there, God demonstrated, he said, my beloved son, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then Jesus goes into the wilderness immediately after that, and he goes through that temptation. Many new believers experience similar testing right after salvation and baptism. It is not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin to surrender to temptation. And we have the authority. We don't have to surrender. We don't have to listen to Satan's lies against us, telling us we're no good or that we have a right to this or that. We can withstand that. When Jesus was in the garden, well, Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. He didn't say so that you'll never be tempted, but so that you will not fall into that temptation. He said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he was facing crucifixion and rejection of the Father, in agony he prayed. Do you think that was not a temptation that he said, I could call legions of angels and they would deliver me. And I can imagine in my mind the angels there in heaven saying, speak the word, just speak the word, Son of God, we will come. But Jesus said, I will not. He did not. He prayed. And Jesus, there in the 26th chapter of Matthew, Jesus went a little farther from his disciples, and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. There are times when temptation comes to us, we need to fall on our face before God and say, not my will, but your will be done. This is painful. I know what I'm facing. I know that I'll make sacrifices, but is it worth it? It's worth it all to follow Jesus. It's worth it all to know the touch of God in one's life. And then he went on in Luke's 22nd chapter, verse 44. Being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. They say that someone who is in terrible agony, that literally they will sweat blood. And Jesus went through that. Do you think that was not a temptation? He did not want to be alienated from his Father. He did not want to become sin for you and me. He took our sin, became that sin. He did not want that. It was a temptation that the devil brought to him. And he prayed, but he prayed and more earnestly. And without a doubt, this was the greatest test, the greatest trial of all trials. But Jesus did this for you and for me. He paid the price for our salvation from Satan's bondage. In James, the first chapter, verse 12, he writes, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." I want that crown of life. I want to stand against the temptation and the assaults and the insults that Satan brings against me. And you do. I want you to have that crown of life as well. Examples of temptations in the Old Testament include, there are so many examples, but we look at Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Joseph was a Hebrew slave, sold into bondage. It seemed like everything was against him. Here he's trying to do right, and he gets sold as a slave. And he's in the Egyptian court, tasked with the responsibility of taking care of everything belonging to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife demanded that Joseph come to her bed. She tempted, Potiphar was out of town, and she tempted, and she said, "Come on, nobody will know." And when he refused, he was thrown into jail. I think it's interesting that when he was tempted, he did not make any hesitation to and start trying to figure out how maybe this would be okay. He immediately ran from her, and of course she grabbed his cloak, you know the story, and then told her husband, "Look, this guy was in here, he tried to rape me." And so then Potiphar's, he was thrown in jail as a result, a dungeon, literally. Although Joseph was innocent, he was judged guilty. There are times that taking our stand against temptation and against denying the Word of God, that we will be judged against what we really are. We will have things said about us or to us that Satan would like to discourage us. But in Genesis 39, 6 through 9, while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. Now, he'd gone through a whole lot of stuff before that, being sold by his family members and rejected. But now here he is, while he was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. And he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. God will give you favor even when you don't see it at the time. If you will stand faithful and resist the temptation, he will give you favor. Because of his faithfulness, because of Joseph's faithfulness, and because he did not blame God, he was never bitter and saying, "God, why did you let this happen to me?" Sometimes people do that. And then they become discouraged. They say, "Well, I just don't even want to believe in God. I don't think there's a God that would allow this." Joseph did not do that. Joseph honored God all the time. He said, "God will make it right." And God honored him. And Joseph was promoted to a position of great honor and authority. And you know the story, how that he saved that's the reason we have Israel today, because Joseph salvaged and saved. Joseph was used by God. Sometimes when you're going through a dark place and things that you think are not fair, God has a purpose and a plan, like he did for Joseph. He has a purpose. Just stand faithful and don't bend. One of the best known stories is the one of Daniel in the lion's den at the court of Darius, the great Mesopotamian king. Daniel was a Hebrew and a favorite of Darius's. He was king, but he still favored Daniel, but he had some enemies at the court, Daniel did. You may have enemies, people who are jealous because you have favor and they see God's favor and they will try to destroy you. And so that's what happened. Those enemies urged and tricked Darius into implementing a new law that said, anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty. They're acting like they're honoring him, but really they are deceiving. The devil will act sometimes like he's going to give you honor and praise, but really he is insulting you and he's bringing you a disdain. And so they said, anyone but you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel trusted God and responded to this new law. How did he do? Did he say, "Oh, I cannot, I'm scared. He refused to bow and to anybody except the God that he had always trusted. And so he trusted God and responded to this new law by praying to God about it. If you have a temptation, pray to God. Take it to God. That's what Daniel did, and just as always. And because Darius had to honor the law, he had the law he had signed. Once it was signed, he had to honor it. And so Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel, the 6th chapter, verse 16 says, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. I'm telling you, the God you serve will rescue you. You may go through tough times, just like it looked like when Joseph was thrown into the dungeon, or when Daniel's thrown into the den of lions. It looks like, well, God, you did not come through. There are times you'll go through difficult places, but God will be with you, and he will give you victory. And so we read in the 6th chapter, verse 23, when Daniel was lifted from the den, and we know the story how that when the king came and he said, Daniel, are you okay? And he said, oh, live forever, king. He said, God sent an angel and bound the lion's mouths. They did not, well, he just had big old kitty cats in there with him, and Daniel was not worried. And so then it says, when he was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him. They lost their appetite. And because he had trusted in his God, Daniel's opponents and their families were thrown into the lion's den and did not survive. We know the story how that the Darius said all of those, the families, all of them are going to be thrown in the lion's den. And do you know that the lions grabbed them or ripped them apart before they ever hit the ground? So they were hungry when it came to that. God took away their appetite when it needed to be gone. Then as a result, in the 6th chapter, verses 25 and 26, King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. He said, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. I think about this little song we used to sing when I was a kid. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose true and dare to make it known, dare to be fervent and stand for truth. And we know that if we read more about Daniel, God has used Daniel. He used him to reveal secrets to him. And Daniel was favored of God because he trusted in God. In James, the 1st chapter, verses 13 and 14, he wrote, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. We blame God sometimes, and it is not God that puts these things against us, but he allows them for us to grow. And so, for God, it says, cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. It is because we get our eyes on the wrong thing that we become enticed, and then we falter. We are tempted when we become enticed by our own natural desires. The first step toward overcoming temptation is to recognize the human tendency to be seduced by our own fleshly cravings. The temptation to sin is a given. We all can be tempted and will be and are tempted by sin. So don't let it catch you off guard. Stay in touch with God. Keep his word before you. Romans 7, the 19th verse beginning, Paul wrote, he said, I do not do good I want to do. Now listen, he says, I don't do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Paul struggled with those temptations too. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who does it, but it is sin living in me. We must cast out and give everything to God, all of the things that would cause us to stumble. And he said, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me, and it will be with you and with me. It will be there to entice us if we do not keep our minds and our hearts stayed upon God. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, he said, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. And then he said, oh, wretched man that I am. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? My husband said that this literally says, you know, that the tradition was when somebody had done something that they were going to get rid of them, they were going to kill them, they would bind, if somebody murdered a man, they would bind that body to that dead body, the live body, to that dead body until the putrefaction would actually destroy the life. And he said, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then he said, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the key. The key is through Jesus Christ we can overcome. We do not have to be subject to those temptations. Jesus said in Matthew 26, he said, and I think I read this before, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul wrote, he said, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. It is common. Every one of us go through temptations. And it says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Well, I'm going to tell you that he steps in. He will bear it for you if you will incorporate it and ask him. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Our way of escape only is through Jesus Christ. We can say that we want to be strong and I'm going to stand against it, but it is only through Jesus Christ. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the writer says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus knows. He took everything that you have been tempted, everything that bothers you, he took it on the cross. He took it at Calvary. So then Paul writes in Galatians, the 5th chapter, he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There's the key. Walk by the Spirit. Keep in touch with Jesus. And he says, James says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, we can resist those temptations. We can resist the devil through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, Peter wrote, he said, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And he's just looking for somebody that's weak enough. Resist him, he said, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not the only one that's being tempted in that area. There are many others who are. But we stand faithful to God. And then he said, we can expect to be tempted daily, but we need to be prepared for it. We're not looking forward to it. We're not saying, oh, I know today's. No, the Apostle Peter reminds us to stay on the lookout. In Peter, the 5th chapter, he says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In the New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians 10:13, it makes it easy to understand. He says, remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. But we only can stand in the realm of the Spirit, letting Jesus Christ be our strength. When you're tempted, it says he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to that temptation. Hebrews tells us that God's word is a living, active, powerful remedy. This is a weapon you can carry that will influence your desires to be obedient to Jesus Christ. If you know the Word of God, you have that within you, and it's a weapon against the attacks of Satan. Ephesians, Paul says that one of our weapons is the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Some people try to use the same weapons that Satan uses. God does not use that. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. They demolish arguments and pretense that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I remember when, you might not believe it, but when I was, before my husband and I were married, and we'd be driving someplace, and he was not quite where I wanted him to be spiritually, and he'd turn the radio on, and it would be a song that I said, you play that, I could love a frog, you know, because it grabs your emotions. I said, turn the radio off. I don't want to be influenced. And we must turn the radio off or turn the things off in our life that will influence our spirit. We have to be in touch with God. It says we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Jesus overcame the devil's temptations in the wilderness with the Word of God. If it worked for him, it will work for us. He is able to identify with our struggles and give us the exact help we need for overcoming temptation. As we read the Bible daily, it will develop the spirit on the inside, and we will have the counsel of God at our disposal. We can have the mind of Christ and can be ready whenever temptation strikes. As we read the Bible and praise God, He will inhabit our praises. He will give us the strength to resist and walk away from temptation. Psalm 22:3 says that God is holy, enthroned on the praises of His people. You may say, well, why in the world do you just stop and praise, you know, sing a song and pray? Well, I want God to be enthroned in those praises. I want Him to come here. The Bible says, and David said, He is enthroned in the praises of His people. David said, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Bible tells us the best way to resist and overcome temptation is to flee from it. Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy. Timothy was a young man, and Paul was instructing him. He said, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Those are things you pursue. And then he said, you, man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Is it easy? It doesn't just fall in our laps. No, he said, pursue it. Chase after it. Desire it. Failing is not the end of the world, but it is dangerous to persist or continue in sin. We cannot continue then. If we falter and we fail, James tells us in the first chapter, verse 15, he says, sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. James is saying that continuing or persisting in sin leads to spiritual death and often even physical death. That is why it is best to repent quickly when we know we have fallen into sin. Amen? Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, and He knows exactly how to help us resist the temptation that comes our way. It will come. We need to be prepared. Amen? Amen? So if you're listening today and you say, well, I haven't made Jesus the Lord of my life, then you need to do that. You need to let Him be the one that will lead you and guide you. Some people say, well, I don't want to go through all that. It's too hard. No, it's not hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. There are so many things that come against the person that doesn't have God on his side. But God wants to be your help and your strength and your companion. And Jesus would have died for you if you were the only one to be saved. And He loves you. And so I encourage you today to make Him the Lord of your life. If you have not done that, I want you to just to pray in your heart with me as I pray. Lord Jesus, Right now, I accept you as King of my life. I recognize that sin has taken a control and a grip on my life, and I want you to take it away. I give it to you, and I bow before you, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Show me how to resist temptation and to stand faithful and true, even as Joseph did. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. I trust that you will make, or if you have not, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and he will help you through every trial or temptation. Even when you feel like you have failed, God is still there, and he'll pick you up. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you have this week, this first week in the year of 2024. You don't have to make resolutions. You just have to let Jesus be the Lord of your life, and he'll help you with your life. May you be blessed this week. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Church. Okay. All right, do we have anybody here today who wants special prayer? I don't want to be dismissed without praying for you if you want prayer. Okay, or anybody who has something that you need to share. Okay, we're going to remember to pray for Brenda throughout the week. She's got a lot of